My name is John, and I'm a sinner. That is my great problem. I'm tempted to make that my great secret, at least when it comes to specific sins, but there's actually tremendous power in not just looking steadily at my sins. We're walking through the 12 steps these days. They are really taken from the church as a way of seeking to follow Jesus, and they have been empirically shown to allow people to access the power to do miraculous work in their life, to become sober when they were just addicted to stuff that willpower would not break free from. So why would anybody not want to give that a shot? After doing step four, that's a fearless and searching moral inventory, now here is step five. You're going to hate it. We admitted to God, ourselves, and one other person the exact nature of our wrongs. And I want to talk today a bit about why to do that. Our text, a little statement from the Bible through step five, will be James chapter 5, verse 16. James says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed." And I'll say a little bit more about the power of that in my own life. You may have heard me talk before, but I'll talk about a person that I do that with, my friend Dr. Rick. But I want to tell you the story of somebody else today and just talking about why would I ever want to do this? It's quite fascinating. There's a book called 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. It's a great guide to doing the 12 steps. And they talk about how all the steps are ego-deflating. All the steps are difficult. But step five, it's the worst. Like, if you think it sounds bad, oh yeah, you are going to dread doing this until you do it. And then you find on the other side, there is enormous power to do it. And they actually talk about how often they've just discovered empirically, you know, nobody would have whiteboarded the 12 steps as a way to treat alcoholism. It was just a discovery because it puts people in touch with spiritual reality. And when people try to avoid step five, maybe I'll talk with God about the exact nature of my wrongs. Maybe I'll admit it to myself, but tell another person, walk through like my verbal sins and my sexual sins and financial and anger and marriage, spouse, friendship, whatever that kind of stuff. I don't think so. When people avoid doing step five, they end up getting drunk again. It's the strangest thing. When they're willing to do it, there's a breakthrough. When we are willing to confess our sins to another person, there is a breakthrough to an experience of forgiveness. There's something about having somebody else look you in the eye and hear about the things that you have done. And being able to receive them and tell you you are loved and you are forgiven, that has unbelievable power. I don't understand exactly how it works. I just know that it works. And then I'll say one other thing, and then I'll tell you some about Holly's experience. We're a mess. We all know, bottom line is, my life's a mess. Apart from God, my life's a mess. I have done things that if it was up on the screen and everybody could see it, would horrify me, and so have you, so don't feel smug. We're all in that situation. And it's precisely in our mess that we meet God. Nice, respectable people who don't need God never really find him, and they're all over in Scripture. That's the elder brother in the prodigal son story. That's Simon the Pharisee when the sinful woman weeps over Jesus' feet, and he doesn't love very much because he hasn't been forgiven very much. That's the people that Jesus is talking about when he says it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick, and we're all sick. I'm a mess. It's in my mess that I meet God. My mess matters deeply to God. And then when I tell other people about that, I'm finding when I talk with people about my humiliation and my failure and my difficulty and my pain, we meet in a different place, deeper place, more power flows than if I talk to him about how strong and accomplished I am. In other words, your mess is your message. It's tempting to think, well, if my life is just successful and high achieving, then I've got something to tell people. Here's how I did it. No. In the Bible, you look at Paul, you look at Moses, you look at Peter. Your mess is your message. I met him there and he helped me. He picked me up. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's part of the power of step five. So I want you to just begin to think about taking that step in your life. And I will tell you about a friend who did. Holly is a woman who became an alcoholic when she was freshman in high school, just hit rock bottom, DUIs, abusive relationships, sexual assault, terminated pregnancies, just nightmarish stuff. She writes about that in her book. It's called From Basement to Sanctuary. Step five is a basement step. We're down in the basement today. And here's what she writes about this. I remember choosing my first sponsor, Amy, knowing she was the woman I would be confessing my deepest, darkest secrets to, and thinking, there's no way she'll ever be able to look me in the eye when she finds out some of the things I've done, let alone all of the things I've done. Amy was a former prostitute, 3 years sober at the time, living my dream life. She was married, drove a convertible. I just hoped for a man who would call me the next day and to someday clear my record enough to get my driver's license back. Amy truly had a life that was beyond my wildest dreams. She had freedom from alcohol, was passionate about her recovery. She shared her past and her pain with a lighthearted joy that could only come from someone who knew she had been forever changed and rescued from her old life. I wanted what she had. When I shared my fifth step admission with Amy, I expected her to run. I expected her to tell me I needed more help than she or even God could give, and I ought to find a professional therapist and an exorcist for all my issues. Not that either would have been unwarranted. But Amy did not run. In fact, she might as well have just looked at me unfazed and blankly replied, "So?" To each shameful nook and cranny I revealed. But she didn't reply, so. Amy showed me the most compassion and mercy another human can be shown. She loved me deeply for what I tenderly and cautiously revealed to her. She responded with an enthusiastic, "Me too," to each of the deepest humiliations I've suffered. She hugged me as I cried. She bought me coffee and eggs and truly, really loved me. It was a touching relationship with another human being, one unlike any I had ever encountered. Through Amy, I experienced compassionate and unconditional love. And again, it's real important to understand, this is not just an AA thing. This is not just a recovery thing. This is a spiritual life thing. Confess your sins to each other. This is from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's great book, Life Alone. So many parallels. In confession, he writes, there takes place a breakthrough to community. Sin wants to be alone with people. And I've experienced this in the deepest, darkest times. It's almost like sin is a power. It's almost like sin has a will. It's almost like it wants me. I've had times when it feels like anger just wants me right now, or fear just wants me right now. The more deeply people become entangled in sin, the more unholy is their loneliness. Sin wants to remain alone. It shuns the light. In the darkness of what is left unsaid, sin poisons the whole being of a person. This can happen in the midst of a pious community. In confession, the light of the gospel breaks into the darkness and the closed isolation of the heart. Sin must be brought into the light. What is unspoken is said openly. All that is secret and hidden comes to the light. It is a hard struggle until the sin crosses one's lips in confession, but God breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron, Psalm 107, verse 16. Confession in the presence of another believer is the most profound kind of humiliation. Are you looking forward to it yet? It hurts. It makes one feel small. Bonhoeffer knew about this. It deals a terrible blow to the pride. To stand there before another Christian as a sinner is an almost unbearable disgrace. By confessing actual sins, the old self dies, a painful, humiliating death before the eyes of another Christian. Because this humiliation is so difficult, we keep thinking we can avoid confessing to each other. But in confession, we break through to genuine community in the cross of Jesus Christ. who came to take the place of those of us who are sinners. So today, just be praying about this one. Be thinking about this one. Maybe with a safe person in your life, just acknowledge one small little thing that you'd have done wrong. And tell them that you feel vulnerable about this and see what happens. And remember, your mess is your message, not your strengths, not your gifts, not your resume. Your mess is the place where God will meet you. And great freedom and liberation will come if and when you find the right person and you're willing to be open with them. The mess is your message. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.